This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 392 of Shutters Inc., the melting moments episode, I think.
And they said it would never happen.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, sorry. I meant they wished it would never happen.
Yeah, that too. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and that there is Glyn Lavender from CreativePhotoWorkshops.com.au. How are you?
Is it hot up there, mate?
Yes, but apparently not as hot as the Arctic temperatures you're having.
Seriously, I have no idea what New South Wales is weather like.
Sydney got up to about 43, 44 in the western suburbs today, and I saw your little post during the day.
47?
Yeah. That is
insane.
About
117 in the old American system.
That's nasty.
Yeah, you know, but
And considering we haven't reached the solstice yet,
It doesn't actually.
It gets hotter after that.
Well, Victoria's hottest month's normally March, which is summer.
Yeah.
After summer. Summer finishes in February, and then it gets hot, which is kind of makes all the sense in the world. So, certainly late February into March is our most consistent. So, realistically, it's not even summer yet.
Yeah.
Because, for those up north, we strange southerners down here start our summer on December 1 because we're not smart enough to remember when the solstice is. And we finish on February 28 or 29, depending on the year.
Yeah.
But of course, it's supposed to start on December 22 and end on March 22.
Yeah.
Because that's the actual seasons per se. So when the Northern Hemisphere changed seasons, we've already changed.
Yeah.
Very confusing. It's very, very confusing.
So it must have been pretty warm down there.
Oh, it's been hot enough to boil a monkey's bum, but it hasn't seemed that bad.
Right.
Hot, but not like it's different when if you've had like 5 or 6 or 7 days of it in a row.
Yes,
you know, you're starting to get you've really had the jack of it by then. But this is not too bad.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I'm man enough, and I don't like the heat. I mean, give me the cold any day of the year.
Right.
Some people are posting on my Facebook page. Oh, we've got exactly the opposite. We're -47 here. It's like, yes, give me that.
It's
concerning.
It's funny as I grew up, you know, as a teenager and as a young adult,
so
I always
old,
much preferred the heat. But I find now in my late 40s, I'm starting to find that I tolerate the heat less well.
You think it'll go the other way? Like, as you get older, your blood doesn't circulate as much. You'd like the heat kind of warming up and thin it out a bit.
Yeah, you would think so. Anyway, so how's your last couple of weeks been?
Oh, up and down like the Assyrian Empire.
Okay, right.
That's two Monty Python references so far for the crowd, if anyone's keeping score. So unfortunately, I had to cancel 2 weeks ago, just on the cusp of recording, because my sister called to say that my aunt had died.
That's right, yep.
Which she'd been unwell for a while, but was actually doing quite well, and then from Sunday through Thursday, gone from quite well to kicking the bucket. She's becoming an ex-aunt,
right?
As almost another Monty Python. Yes. As an ex-aunt, she's tired from a long squawk. So yes, so she went down hill incredibly fastly. I think it's because we put lard on her back. As soon as we put lard on her, she went downhill really quickly. It's a bad joke. Counter those ones for the episode. So that was a bit upsetting, mostly because while she was a lovely woman and I have fond memories of her, I hadn't seen that much over the last 20 years, but it really upset my mum, who's she lost her husband this year, as I said, and then my dad, and then
sister.
Well, her sister-in-law.
Oh, sister-in-law.
So
right.
it was her only brother's wife, and her brother died a fair few years ago now. So brought back a whole bunch of stuff, and then I've been running my mum around the last couple of days. She had to go for eye surgery, so almost 2 hour drive to my mum's house, there to my mum's retirement village, a care facility, whatever you want to call it. Then about an hour and a quarter drive to the hospital, then waiting around for that, then an hour and a quarter drive back, and then 2.5 hour drive back, 2 days in a row.
So, yeah, right.
Wow. In the blazing heat, it's like, oh, I've kind of had enough driving around.
Yeah.
In the midst of all that, I managed to put on a workshop, a flash workshop, actually a couple of workshops, a flash workshop and a how to use your camera workshop.
Yep.
So that kept me pretty busy. And then school holidays started last Friday.
Yes.
So, yeah, my sister's a school teacher, primary school teacher. Her kids don't finish till December 22.
What?
Yeah, exactly. My kids, December 8, and they're finished.
Yeah, man, those kids are getting ripped off, having to stay in school till the 22nd.
I'm getting ripped off, paying for bloody education. They're finished on the 8th. This is a private-ish school. Yeah, they should be kicked in there till December 24, about 11 o'clock at night. The money I pay, they should live there just about, you know, not alone finishing early. They had an extra week holiday in the last school holidays,
yep.
And then they finished early this one. So, crazy stuff.
I can top that.
Yes.
Max's school broke up in November.
The whole school? Or just his, like, year 11?
Maybe it was only year 11s.
Yeah, year 11, year 12, they always do, because, you know, the exams and everything all finished.
Yeah.
And the rest of the school's still going. Bad man. November, that's yeah. So did you give him a job?
He's got his own.
Is he keeping the family going? Have you got a job yet?
No, I haven't got a job. He's working more than I am.
So no news on that. Probably a tough time of year, I'd imagine,
it is,
John.
Yeah, and I've been doing a little bit of freelance stuff through my home studio here, but that's not enough to cover the bills. But you know, I've got a 7-month payout, so I'm not overly stressed right now. I'm quite happy to just take a couple of weeks off over Christmas and New Year. Absolutely. And then, you know, hit it for real in January.
Then to start learning how to do, fill in all those forms for the government.
That's
and
right.
Learn how to queue up and feel and made rip. Be made to feel like a second-class citizen.
Yeah, go and wave a lollipop on the side of the road, yeah.
There you go. You could do one of those guys who advertise like used car lots. Yeah, you know, they stand there with a little sign, they wave it around at the traffic lights. You could do that.
Kath actually said to me, go get your bus driver's license and just drive a bus. They earn just about as much money as I was earning.
It's good anyway. To be supportive. Make you feel special. With all this copious amounts of time off, you've been out taking photos?
One day last week.
Oh, go on. Do tell.
Just the regular cadet end of year.
Oh yeah,
shenanigans. So Friday. Yeah, last week. So 7 days ago tonight. So they had their end of year march out parade. So I was invited to come along and take photos of all the awards ceremony stuff. Yeah. So, yeah, but I'm trying to get myself motivated to get up and go for a walk early in the morning. I've found a place quite on Google Maps, quite by accident, and another set of waterfalls here on the Central Coast that I'd not heard anyone talk about. I've not seen any photographers shoot it. Now, that might be because it's a really crap location.
There might
location.
Be a reason for that.
Yeah, it might be a really crap location. The thing is that to get to it, it's a good 35-minute walk downhill from the nearest road, which obviously makes a 40-minute walk uphill.
A very long
way.
Walk.
Yeah.
If you're healthy, it's
exactly
it's like two and a half hour walk and then carried out by ambulance for the rest of the way.
Yes. So that's why I'm trying to get myself up early one morning to go and do it before it gets too hot. Because I thought, it looks like it'd be a decent, like, Google Maps has a couple of photos that, you know, some people have taken of them, and they look like a nice set of falls, and I thought, I should go and check that out and maybe do a shoot there with a model, and so, yeah, anyway, I will get to that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I wonder why not many people, is it just the exercise, the effort?
That's what I'm thinking, just the distance, you know, because around here, everyone goes and shoots Somersby Falls. Because the thing with Somersby Falls is, you know, from the car park to the waterfall is maybe a 3-4 minute walk.
That far?
Yeah.
Can't you photograph it out your car window? If you could pull up close.
Not quite.
Have like a little window pod that sort of locks onto the side of your window. Just shoot out at that. That'd be my idea of landscape photography.
I'm sure it would.
or be able to drive a camper van in, and you have like a little pole that goes up like a periscope at the top of your camper van. You just like the drive next to the drive, you crank it up, it opens up, it goes up. You can turn it left and right, up and down. Yeah, And it's already on a tripod, basically, so it's nice and secure. Yeah. Put a nice black ND filter on there, press a couple of minute long photograph, and then crank it back down. This cranking stuff sounds like too much work. Maybe electrical, just press the button.
Yeah.
And then drive off to the next location.
Yeah. Awesome idea.
That sounds it's getting better by the minute. If it could then launch as a drone, if you're a little bit too far away, like all these minutes away from this other one you're talking about, you could just fly the thing down there.
Yeah.
If it could fly with the pole attached to it still, right, then as it got close to somewhere, it could lower down, and at the bottom of the pole, three little legs could come out. Nice stable platform. Bang, take the shots, fly back up, land back in the car. Off you go.
We just need drones that have got enough strength to lift a human body.
And, but here's the thing, camera gear. Fuel, no problem at all, because you could fill the pole with fuel. The pole could be a battery.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just awesome short idea. Thinking, that's all. So let's put a copyright on that. Let's patent that right now. Yeah. The flying tripod. You know it's going to come.
Yeah, probably.
Carbon graphite, helium filled, and make it nice and light.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what do you got on your list?
Oh, list? Not a lot. I can't remember. So I wrote all this stuff 2 weeks ago before we were about to podcast.
Right.
And not much of the notes. Well, not much of the notes make an awful lot of sense, quite frankly. So it's probably spot on with the rest of our podcast, really. So let's have a look. Let me open up this here little thing here on the computer. Missing shot. Oh, there was missing shots from lack of gear is something I had written down. Right. I put a little post up on Facebook a week or so ago.
Yes.
It's just discussing how many people, especially in travel, when you're doing travel photography, all these people sacrificing. Oh, I don't want to carry too much stuff around. I want to get lighter, lighter, smaller, smaller, less, less, less.
Yep.
But all these people who reduce themselves to one camera are missing just so many photographs. And just think, on tour, just how many times people are desperately trying to change from one lens to another lens to get a shot. And then a minute later, following the same process again. Then a minute later, following that, you've always got the wrong lens on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really just piqued the question to me was, are you trying to get convenience? Or do you want to take photos?
Yep.
Yeah. If you want to be a great mechanic, you're not going to have just the smallest, lightest toolkit.
No.
You know, you can have all the tools for the job. And if you want to be the best mechanic, you have the best tools for the job and you do the best job with them. You know?
Yep.
And it's people are always, I don't want to carry too much around. Carry stuff.
Yeah.
Put up with the weight. Put up with the cameras. Put up with the lenses.
See, that's always been my approach with travel photography, is I don't mind lugging around 12 kilos of gear on my back. I sort of split the diff. I will go with just one DSLR body and multiple lenses, and I will go through the hassle of having to change lenses constantly throughout the day and knowing that I'm going to have to clean the camera every night because I've picked up dust and crap in all of those lens changes through the day. But I get
you're kidding. No, serious? You do that, do you?
I do. Absolutely.
I've never cleaned a camera in my entire life.
That's up to you.
But I don't get dust in my photos, dude.
Well, how do you change lenses without getting dust in your camera? Or do you not look that closely at the images that you shoot?
Dude, I shoot F22 wide angle straight up into sky with flash, with underexposed sky. If there's dust going to be there, it's going to be shown.
Right. So how do you change lenses out in the field?
I have a very, very precise method. I have the lenses in my bag with no rear lens cap on. I take the lens off the camera without turning the camera off. I ferret around until I find the lens, drop it, just throw the other one in, pick the other one, shove it on, then start shooting.
So I dare say all your images have got a bit of dust in them.
Show them to me.
I don't have the raw.
I'm telling
files.
You, I'm shooting. It's a JPEG. Who needs raw? I'm shooting F22. At a 15mm wide-angle lens, F22, if it's ever going to show up, it's going to show up there, aiming directly at the skyline, at sky. So there's no way of hiding.
Maybe you and I just have a different threshold of what's acceptable levels of dirt on an image.
There's no dirt on my images.
Well, I don't know how you do it, dude. I would love to know how you do it.
So you're getting hairs and dust on your photos all the time?
I wouldn't say hairs, but always dust spots. Always. Like, seriously, every day. If I'm out in the field changing lenses...
Oh, it's a Sony.
Get stuffed. What's that got to do with it?
Does it have a self-cleaning system? So Canon, every time you turn Canons on and off, they clean.
Right.
Not that I turn the camera off to change lenses, but they have some form of sensor cleaning mechanism.
Right. I don't think the Sony has a self-cleaning sensor. You got to remember, it is now a 9-year-old body I'm shooting with. I don't think there was many self-cleaning sensors back then. There might have been one or two. Oh,
Olympus were doing it from day one.
Oh, were they? Oh, okay. All right. So as I said, you know, I split the difference. I'll accept all of that as a cost of doing business.
You don't carry a second box.
But my advantage is I'm not having the weight of a second body.
But that's not an advantage. It's a disadvantage.
Why?
I'd rather have less lenses because you've always got the wrong bloody lens on. How many shots do you miss because you've got to change lenses?
Not a lot.
That's the whole point. Why not get a second body and not miss any?
Right. Well, just because you're then carrying extra weight again.
Who cares? Who cares? That's the point, though. Who cares? What do you want to do? Do you want to carry? Do you want to be a photographer and get the photos, or I don't want to carry it with extra weight? Yeah, you can get away with two lenses. As a travel photographer, you can get away with two lenses and two bodies.
Yeah,
that's not that much to carry around. You're carrying four lenses, you say.
Yeah.
So take two of those lenses out and put a body, and it's about probably about the same weight.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, same or less. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's about having, you know, the least amount of compromises, and only having one body is too much of a compromise.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in places like India or whatever, where stuff is happening all the time. Yeah, it's frantic, and there's so many, and there's a million photo opportunities.
Yep.
But they all last 4.7 seconds. And in 4.7 seconds, you've got time to pick up your camera, focus, compose a tiny bit, and press the button.
Yep.
And it's just that every tour, you just see people just constantly worth shooting away, and they're all just doing their bags, changing lenses. And they're not fast at changing lenses either.
No.
So they'd be like you. I'll take this lens cap off the lens I'm going to put on. I'll get my lens cleaning fluid. Put some lens.
I don't do that in the field.
You're right. I've got the order wrong. I've taken my lens cap on. Now I'll put the blower brush on first to remove any excess bits of dust. Now I'll put my lens cleaning fluid on. Now I'll get my cleaning cloth. Now only anti-clockwise movements, please. None of this clockwise stuff, no. Don't you dare mix up half and half. Just only anti-clockwise movement. Now, little breathe on the lens. Oh, no, there's a couple more specs still. Let's get the blower brush out one more time. Let's get the little fluid on there. Now, let's get the only clockwise only. Thank you very much. Okay, that's looking pretty good. Okay, let's take the rear lens. Oh, look, on the rear lens element, there's a tiny speck of dust. Let's just get the blower brush out for a second. Let's get the fluid on there and a little bit of clean. Anti-clockwise only. Thank you very much. Lovely. Okay, now the other lens. Let's take the other lens off the camera. Let's take it off. Let's put the other one on there. Now we've got this other lens off. Let's put the rear lens cap back. Oh, there's a speck of dust on there. Have a look at that. Get the blower brush. 14 minutes later, you're almost ready to start shooting. By this stage, the tour group's in the restaurant having lunch. That might be an exaggeration. You might not use the lens cleaning fluid.
Maybe.
Whereas it should be, rip the cap off, throw the lens into the bag, whilst the camera's still on, cram the other one on there, leave the bag spilled half open on the floor whilst you're shooting, and then pick up the bits afterwards and hope everything's still there.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much me on tour, yeah.
Sorry? You threw your bag away last time for
that's right. What could possibly go wrong?
Now, here's the thing I did. I also did a very bizarre sports photography workshop last Saturday.
Right. Were you running it or were you attending it?
I don't attend workshops. I've never been to a workshop in my life. Right. It's like being a member of a club. You know, I'd never be a member of any club that you'd be a member of. You know, I'd never attend a workshop. Who goes to workshops? Probably not good for business saying that. No, so I was running because I'm well known for my sports photography, especially right. My cricket photography. It's a cricket photography workshop.
Right.
So that was something a little bit different.
Why were you conducting a cricket photography workshop?
I don't know.
Was it someone who asked?
No, it was a group. It was actually the
lovely people who import Tamron lenses sponsor a cricket team, a cricket club.
Right.
And half of their warehouse staff have all been employed from people from the club. So right. There's a very strong connection with the club and this brand. This company, and so they asked, "Can you come along and they'll demonstrate some of the new lenses and just, you know, talk some hints and tips and sort of stuff." So I spent a couple of days googling. You know, Google how to take a photo of cricket. Yep. Not that hard, really. They don't move that fast. And went down there, and three people showed up. only two of who brought cameras along.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was splendiferous, really. And only lasted an hour and a half. Then I thought, oh, good, I'll go over there to the barbecue and get a sausage, but they packed the sausages up before I could get one. It was actually quite a fun day. It was a good day, a lot of laughs.
So you stopped at Bunnings on the way home?
get me sausage and all, you know. The kids wanted to go Christmas shopping, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so no sausage for me. I'm fat enough as it is. So that was something a bit different for me. Yeah. Now, on my list of stuff for things, I've got a fun little factoid that came out. Do you know this website you can use that you can check to see if any – a reverse image search to see if anyone's stolen your photos?
I've heard of it. I've never used it.
So basically what you can do is you can type in the web address of your image and it can reverse image search and find anyone else who might be using that image somewhere.
Oh, okay. Right?
But they got – copyright infringed by someone stealing their website and just renaming it, but having basically exactly the same thing.
Wow.
So someone stole their website.
Wow.
Just kind of funny, you know.
That is unbelievable. And they've used the same design and the same color palette.
It's like all they've done is change their own logos, you know, and the name. Ultimate visual search instead of reverse image search. Wow. So if you want to do a reverse image search and you want to keep, yeah, maybe this place people are stealing your photos as well, TinEye is the one to use.
Right.
It could be a good thing to go look at anyway, to see if anyone's using any of your fabulous images anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So it's amusing, but it was it was ironic.
Yes.
That they had their thing stolen.
Yes. What's the ultimate print? The unlimited print.
This company called Print.co, P-R-Y-N-T,
because
it's like hip and stuff and stuff. Well, basically, it's the zero ink printer thingamajigs that print out instant photos, basically.
Right.
The instant printers. Well, they had a system where they would supply the paper, but you can now get unlimited paper from them per month. For a certain amount of money, yeah, I can't remember how much it is. So you have their printer and their print paper, and you just shoot and take as many photos as you want, print out as many photos as you want, and you get as many photos as you want per month, as many packs of paper.
Right.
So at the moment, it's only apparently in Europe and America, but there's a good chance it's going to be out everywhere else. It's a subscription thing, basically. So every month you subscribe, and it's $39 or something.
Right.
So on those months, some months you might use a hell of a lot and get incredible value, and some months you might not use any, and it was just because where they're basing it on.
Yeah.
And you get not very good value for money.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of a cool little idea for those of our North American friends who, and once again, if you are traveling or going to like a reunion or anything where people are getting together you don't see very often,
yep.
Take one of these little printers along, do some snapshots, and be printing them out straight away to people. You know, cool. So
awesome.
Yeah, I just thought I'd show that. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I have? Do I have anything else interesting?
You've got a little text thing with no link that says Euro US only so far.
Yeah, that's for the print.
Oh, I see. That was related to that.
So Europe, and US so far only.
Yep.
So the other one, and it's not actually coming up as a link for some reason, was Photoshop were sort of previewing the next new feature that they're going to be coming up with. And it's called Select Subject. So basically, you can just, it's how to do selections. You just basically just click on a photo and bing, it selects the whole thing for you automatically.
Oh, this is sort of isolates the foreground image from the background?
Yeah, but it automatically, rather than having to do that little cutting things out.
Instead of having to draw the halo yourself, yeah.
Yeah, so the refining the process of that and getting better and better and better at the actual software, be able to do a good job
of it. It's pretty amazing technology.
Yeah, on some images you can imagine it would work really, really well. Yeah, yeah. Images with clear backgrounds or with clear change of focus and stuff like that. I mean, if you're shooting stuff at 1.2 or something, it's going to be a fairly quick drop off in background. Focus. It's going to look
Right.
I just thought that could be of interest to those who use that service, because it's not you, I know. That's not you anymore. And I just saw on Petapixel this interesting one here. This is how one photographer dodges and burns his photos, but he's using 50% natural gray layer and overlay in overlay blending.
Yep.
And creates individual dodge and burn layers. That's just kind of cool.
I have seen that technique before. And I have used it in the past.
Yeah, my mate, what's his name? Lovely guy. Lee Varis, very famous early digital photographer based in LA, did a lot of the early Hollywood stuff in digital, used that technique a lot back in the day and lots of other cool stuff. So if you ever want to see some cool tips, Lee, L-E-E, and Varis, V-A-R-I-S.
Right.
He's a very, very cool guy and does some pretty darn cool stuff, so...
Yeah, right. I was just scrolling down the list of things on Petapixel and saw famous Chinese roof topper falls to death from 62-story building.
That'll do it.
Yep.
He only really fell 15 metres.
Oh, did he?
But, yeah, still did him in.
Right.
But, yeah, he fell from a 62-story building. We did, but he didn't fall 62 floors.
Right.
Yeah, he only went just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But same end result, though.
Yes.
Yeah, which is probably the most important thing at the end of the day. That you see all these people hanging upside down, doing crazy, silly stuff on these buildings and tops of spires on buildings. It's like, I wonder how many times it's happened. It's just this one person who, got exposure for falling off, but I'm sure it's happened lots.
Yeah.
And it's all to get this Insta fame, It's all to get this. And the last thing on my list is this phenomenal, incredible, amazing
Instagram account.
Makeup artist.
Yeah.
This woman is the most incredible makeup artist.
Yeah.
So all the stuff you see in these images are all makeup. It's not Photoshop.
Wow.
And the stuff she does is just remarkable.
That is phenomenal.
Absolutely remarkable stuff. So if you want to see some seriously cool use of makeup and really kind of warp your mind a little bit, then have a gander.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
That's all I got for 2 weeks ago. I've got nothing for this week.
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I collected this little thing. I put in the notes, Darktable, Hell Freezes Over, or Hell Froze Over. This is what I lifted from one of the emails that came out. As you might have read on our news post, we finally ported Darktable to Windows and intend to support it in the future. That's a key point. A while back, they'd said, if someone wants to do a port of Darktable for Windows, that's fine, but we're not going to support it. Now they've sort of reversed their position on that and said, yes, they will support it. At the moment, it's still lacking a few features. For example, no printing support. So fairly major omission, but it'll come in time.
Who needs printing, though, from Photoshop or whatever, realistically?
Exactly. Pretty rare.
Yeah.
Unless you were maybe trying to do a contact sheet or something like that.
Yeah, yes, but you can still just make up the file and just print the file from it. Yeah, it's not
At the moment,
it's not a deal breaker.
Has a few limitations. Tethering requires special drivers to be installed and comes with its own set of bugs. But overall, we're confident that it's quite usable already and hope you'll enjoy it. Very special thanks goes to Peter Budai, who finally convinced us to agree to the port and who did most of the work. So... anyone who's been listening to this podcast for the last 15 months knows that I'm absolutely loving Darktable on Linux. And I would say if you're not quite ready to jump to Linux as an OS, but you are interested in knowing what Darktable's like, then maybe go over and have a gander at the link, which will be in the show notes.
Yeah, nice.
Carl sent us a couple of things. One was a link to a photographer who spent 14 years, talk about a long term photography project, capturing stunning images of the world's oldest trees. And some of these are just like the trees are amazing. I wouldn't necessarily say the...
Well, that wouldn't have changed much in those 14 years unless they fell over.
I wouldn't say the photos are necessarily amazing, but the trees that have been captured in these images are certainly, you know, gorgeous works of nature. And hey, everyone's got their thing, and this was this person's idea. Beth Moon.
That was hers, yes. Yeah. Hers.
So, nice collection of images. Anyway, thank you, Carl. And Carl also sent me a link to lrinstagram.com. And this is an unofficial Lightroom plugin which will allow you to export directly from Lightroom to your Instagram account. So you know, having to export the images to a folder and then upload them to Instagram. It will actually, when you install the plugin, you authenticate your Instagram account, and it will then allow you to publish to Instagram straight out of Lightroom. So, like I said, it's not an official plugin. It's just done by...
there's no plugins. Every single one of these has ever come out, Instagram has slammed and shut down.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so don't be surprised if this doesn't last very long, because every other one, and there's been lots of them.
Right.
The other ones are posting, being able to post from PCs, et cetera, have been knocked down fairly quickly. So just have to see. Yeah. Hey, if it's working now, good. Not handy,
What's the point of shutting these things down? I mean, Instagram's owned by Facebook. Would have thought they would have wanted all the exposure they can get.
All Instagram's supposed to be is a mobile platform.
Oh, okay, right.
That's the whole reason of existence is mobile platform.
Right.
So,
okay.
Maybe if you can do it from anywhere, then Facebook start losing some people from one platform and they go, who knows.
Yeah.
But...
anyway, link will be in the show notes. If you were looking for a plugin to do exactly that, well, then go and check it out. Steve Fells said, why couldn't they bring out a classic designed camera in digital form? M8, M9, 240, M10, monochrome, all designed from the original M3 in the 50s with the same mount. Love the podcasts and listening to Glenn.
He's having a go at me.
Is he?
Yeah, because I've said, why can't they bring out a bloody classic design to camera in digital form? And then he's mentioning all these Leicas that are exactly that. Right. But I'm talking about, like a Nikon FM. I mean, I'm talking, accessible, not $10,000 body cameras.
Oh, okay.
And frankly, I would love a Leica M240, a 240. They're phenomenal cameras, but not everyone's going to want to spend $10,000 on a body and then $30,000 on lenses.
What makes Leica such great cameras, in your opinion?
Well, it's not, but they work. They feel good. They're incredible construction. You know, when you pick up something that's really well constructed, just feels really good to use.
Yeah, sure.
That's that. There's nothing special about it. Forget the fact that it says Leica on it.
Okay.
These are all handmade for starters. They're all hand constructed.
Right.
And it just has a certain quality feel to it.
Okay.
But quality costs that ability to manufacture. And the lenses are exceptionally good. So if you want sharp images, the lenses are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
But I would like to see like a classic Nikon FM. A classic Canon. Well, Canon's. I was a Nikon user back in the film days because the Nikon, hands down, better than Canon for their film cameras.
Right.
As far as their classic mechanical manual cameras, Olympus and Nikon were all over Canon for that. Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, it's not like an Olympus OM-1, but in basically an OM-1 camera, but digital would be freaking awesome.
Right.
And if it did have all those that same lens mount, then you're looking at, you can pick up lenses for $200 secondhand and $300 quality glass. I mean, really good quality glass for pocket change, effectively.
What, as in Leica branded glass or other?
No, I'm talking about if Olympus were to make one or Nikon were to make one.
Right, right.
Then you'd be able to go and pick up all the old Olympus lenses, or even Pentax were to make one. Pentax, once again, had hands over Canon for their manual cameras back in the day as well.
Right.
But get something like a Pentax MX, which is a fabulous little mechanical manual film camera. Get that with the digital capabilities and the accessibility of all the old Pentax M mount lenses. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't have $10,000 to buy, get a Leica camera. Yeah, and even if I could, I wouldn't be able to afford the lenses on top of it. You know? It's awesome, gorgeous stuff. And I agree totally with you, Steve. It's awesome stuff. Mind you, he's obviously fairly delusional.
Why?
Loves the podcasts. I mean...
Yeah, you can only take what the man says with a certain grain of salt, I think you'd have to say, wouldn't you? Huh? Right. He should change his name to Steve Fells SFP, Sucker for Punishment.
Right. Well, Rob Coates was equally praise-laden. He said, regarding last week's me losing my mojo, he said, "Don't stress, your podcast is a bonus for us Inks fans. If your busy lives can't squeeze in a podcast, that's cool. Chill out, take some photos, and we'll see you next time. We'll see you when time permits. Cheers, Rob."
I think we should stop doing podcasts forever right now. We've had two compliments in a row. That's got to be unheralded territory for us.
Quit on a high, you reckon?
We're at our peak, dude.
Come out on top.
It can't get better than that. No. I mean, when are we ever going to get three in a row, for goodness sake?
And Rob also sent me an interesting link, and he said, "Your chance to upgrade." And this is a story from Tasmania, down south of Australia. A guy who has unfortunately fallen into ill health has decided to sell his collection of 1,300 cameras, which date from the 1870s through to pretty much the modern day. Just an absolutely amazing collection of gear. John Cole, owner of Antiques Emporium in Devonport, which is on the north coast of Tasmania, is selling the collection on behalf of the owner, who does not want to be identified. When someone calls you up and says, "I need to get rid of my camera collection," you never expect you're about to walk in and pick up 1,300 cameras, he said.
No.
There's some pretty amazing looking stuff in there. So,
I bet.
Yeah, so awesome. Anyway, nice fun. Thank you, Rob. Very, very interesting. Adam sent us three. One was the Isolite modifier system lets you relight your photos in post. Glyn, I would love for you to watch the video that's included in this link, because I watched it and I don't know how the hell they're doing this. It is amazing. Yeah. They're saying that this attachment will basically capture all of those looks that you see in those four images, right? You've got a dark-skinned female model on white background and three different shades of grey background, and they're all extracted from the same raw image, and that you can change the lighting from the raw file after you've shot it. But it's supposedly... I don't know. I mean, obviously.
Well, I will promise you this.
Yep.
There's a chance I'll look at it.
Yeah, there's a chance.
If you like it, well, you better put a ring on it. Let's have a look here. Artisan modifier lets you relight your photo in post.
Yeah, so obviously it's got its own software, because the image underneath the video link suggests that it's got its own little software plug-in that obviously takes, well, I don't know what it does.
Well, Isolite image processing stuff. Well, Carl, watch it now. You got me curious.
Yeah. I have a look at it after the show, and maybe we can talk about
it
next week.
I'll do it now.
We can talk about it next week.
It's going to be next week. I thought we were getting up, because
it'll be Christmas. This might just be our last episode.
It could be Christmas holidays workload to go look at this stuff, you know.
The next one from Adam was this artist who got paid $15,000, or I think it was like $22,000 Canadian, to do a public art installation, and he stole all of the images from the Edinburgh Comedy Fringe Festival website.
Well, that's art, isn't it? It's plagiarism art.
Supposedly, you know, he'd gone down under this bridge and had interviewed these people as they were passing by, and took photos of people, but then he didn't use any of the photos that he took. He just went and lifted all these photos of comedians from this Edinburgh Comedy Festival website, and blurred all their faces and put these quotes over the top and got paid for it. And then
it was kind of funny.
Someone found him out, and the thing I find hilarious is the update to the story on Petapixel, right at the bottom of the article, says Artist Derek Bessant has publicly apologized, saying he thought the photos were already out in the public domain. Like, that's a valid excuse. You just got paid to take photos for an art installation, and you didn't.
It's funny, isn't it?
Whether the images are public domain or not is irrelevant. Anyway, and the last one from Adam. Lightro shuts down its light field photo sharing website. So, as we've heard in the past,
that kind of makes sense. They stopped making the cameras earlier.
Yeah, so. Well, they've kind of focused all their attention on the video side of things.
Cinema.
And sort of moving away from their light field still camera technology. And so now they've shut down the photo sharing website that went along with it. So now if you've got a Lightro camera, you're basically back to, you know, exporting JPEGs and GIFs and being down here with the rest of us lowly plebs.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's
it. Fascinating.
That's it, is it? That is it.
We're done like a dog's dinner.
We are. So another year.
We probably put in, what do you reckon, 35, 38 episodes?
Oh, maybe.
Maybe?
Yeah. I don't know.
How many had other people on them?
Maybe two or three.
Eight?
No, really?
Six?
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Yeah, maybe.
So six?
Yeah, something like
that. So they're six good episodes.
Let me have a look at
the tell you what, here's a challenge for next year for you, dude. I've got a challenge for next year for you.
What's that?
Next year, I want you to record a podcast that neither of us are on. We have a special guest in both seats.
That would be very
and if
strange.
We could do that, if we could do that for enough episodes for the year, like 40 of them. And they've got to call themselves Bruce and Glenn.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, they're going to be us. We're going to get someone to do us for an episode at least, or at least a 10-minute part.
That would be hilarious.
So if anyone wants to volunteer to be us for at least a segment in one episode next year, get in touch with Bruce. I'm too lazy to do anything about it.
Yes. That sounds crazy.
Awesome.
Anyway, well, mate, you have a very Merry Christmas.
Before that, I'd like to wish our listener a happy Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Likewise. And we hope he, she, it, the non-gender-specific person, has a fabulous, non-religious-based festive experience.
Yes.
Can we say there's any less politically correct? May the thing that you sometimes believe in because you get presents be good to you. I don't know what it's going to be. Have a lovely Christmas. I'm going to say Christmas because I believe in Christmas.
Fair enough.
It's my favourite time of the year.
Is it?
It is. I love Christmas.
Yeah, nice.
Watch Christmas movies every, at least most nights of the week before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
For at least like, 3 or 4 weeks before Christmas. We watch a lot of Christmas movies. Right. We sing Christmas carols in the car. We play Christmas carols.
Yeah, right.
Mostly kind of warped ones like Yellow Snow, Yellow Snow, Yellow Snow. Walking around in women's underwear, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's our tradition. Yep. Okay. It's what's for us.
Excellent.
You know? I do love Christmas. It's a time. I think what I like about Christmas, I don't like New Year. I hate New Year,
right?
But I like Christmas because it's a time when you're coming to a time of the year when you're feeling maybe a little bit closer to people, maybe a little bit reflective. I don't know, but I don't like New Year because I don't like being forced to be happy at a particular minute of a particular day. I refuse to be happy when you tell me to be, but I do like Christmas, which is probably just as stupid a belief anyway, but still.
Excellent.
So, Well, you have a lovely Christmas.
I will. I shall. Are you doing anything special? Are you going away? Or
I'm still trying to get both my foot and my wife's foot healed enough to actually be able to do anything.
Right.
Yeah, so she's getting on the mend and I'm still to see a doctor properly. So.
Right, okay.
Right. So I'm still as sore as I was 6 weeks ago when I did the injury.
Oh, no.
So she's able to walk with only one crutch now, which is and actually put her foot down on the ground, which is the first time in 6 weeks. So.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
Well, let's come along. So if that gets to a reasonable position, we'll probably go away for a few days, take the kids somewhere where they can swim and splash about a bit, but that's probably about it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I got too much other stuff to do to get planning stuff for Bangladesh. Speaking of Bangladesh, I should throw it in there. Had someone pull out today.
Oh, no.
So I've got, one spare position. If anyone wants to come and have an awesome time in Bangladesh with me,
okay. Leaving when and for how many days?
So February 17 to 28.
Right.
So 12 days.
Yep.
All accommodation, all meals, all ground transport. Yeah, and so the whole point of this tour is called a mentor explore tour. So there's only five people I'm taking with me,
right?
And each and every day is going to be lighting lessons, and we're going to be meeting people in amazing locations, and really slowing down and trying to craft some really good images rather than just shooting like crazy or whatever we see.
Yeah, nice.
So think of it like about 12 days of sporadic workshops.
Yeah, right.
So we'll be using. I've got a new LED lighting company coming on board, which I can't name exactly just yet.
Right.
But we'll be doing some stuff with their folding LED light panels.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping to take the new Elinchrom Quadra kit to Bangladesh and be one of the first people using that. So we're going to be doing lots of lighting stuff, nice. Trying to craft some fabulous, fabulous images.
Beautiful.
And we might even do some post-production stuff. We'll do all sorts of things. So it's going to be a very different kind of tour, because it's more a learning tour than just a let's go see stuff tour.
So where can people find information?
They can look at my website, creativephotoworkshops.com.au, and all the itinerary is listed there. If they want to get in touch with me, just get in touch.
Beautiful.
Email.
All right, well, we'll probably take 4 weeks off and be back late January.
Back in time to say, for me to say goodbye, I'm going to Bangladesh.
Yeah, exactly. All right, mate, will you have a happy new year?
Take it a bit. Everyone be safe. Look after yourself. Be good to each other.
Likewise.
It can be a tough time of year for people. Just be good to yourself.
Yeah. And thank you for all the emails over the course of the year. We do appreciate it. Thank you.
Those 15 went down really well. Yeah. All the abusive ones, they go straight to the trash.
Absolutely.
But, the two nice ones we got, we saved for the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, back.
All right, mate. Talk to you in a month.
Bye, everybody.
Well, that's another year wrapped up, and we'll finish it off with a book review from David Marland. What do you got for us, David?
Thanks, Bruce. Now for something related, but completely different. Sometimes we want to use our photos in different ways, in photo books, as prints with a caption, or alongside some commentary. We might want to present them as large format prints with a title underneath to look like fine art. But in doing that, what typeface do you use? What size font? Where do you place the type that tells the story you want and doesn't detract from the photograph? It complements it. Now, some people have got a feel for this stuff, but others like me wonder how you can have two flyers or presentations of the same material with slightly different positionings of the photo and the type, and yet they can look so dramatically different. I mean, if you're really proud of a photo and really want to show it off, and especially if you want to show it off to the best of your ability, you'd like to know how to do that. Now, perhaps something like the Non-Designer's Design Book by Robin Williams might help guide you. It's a popular book, and it's now in its fourth edition, and Robin begins the book with a simple premise. That is, if you can name a thing, you become conscious of it, and then in turn you can control it. She then presents two examples of a message. One is clearly more easily read than the other. Now, at this stage, you don't know why, because working through the book means that at the end you do know why. But it really gets you thinking from the get-go. The other bit about the book is it doesn't go into a huge encyclopedic thesis on good design. Robin boils good design to four basic principles. Now, I'm going to labour these a little bit because, as photographers, they're going to sound a bit familiar. First one's contrast, and that's about avoiding elements that are merely similar. If the elements are not the same, then make them as different as possible. Repetition. Repeated visual elements develop organisation and strengthen the unity of the piece. Alignment. Nothing should be placed on the page, or even indeed in the photo, in an arbitrary manner. And the fourth one's about proximity. items relating to each other should be grouped close together to organise and give the viewer a clear structure. Now, these principles could be applied as much to a photograph itself as it could be to the combination of photograph and typeface that you might want to do for a photo book or a fine art print. Now, Robin's book goes on to explain each of these principles in some depth, with some pretty good illustrations and some exercises if you really want to get into it. It covers tips and tricks for particular products like a brochure or a postcard or advertising. And there is a large section on designing with different types. Yes, I agree. It's more geared to ways of presenting the printed word supported by pictures. But I found myself thinking quite differently about how might I present the next family holiday photo book and using a typeface placed and of a design that complements rather than either takes over or plays no part in the display. At the lightest read, this is pretty thought-provoking and I think a good starting point if you want to look at this stuff more seriously. The Non-Designer's Design Book by Robin Williams, and that's Robin with an I, is published by Peach Pit. It's on Booko in softback from $31 to about $64. I've got the fourth edition, and that was published in December 2014. And there's an ebook version from $23.50 to a bit over $39. Cheers.
How interesting that you should include that particular book, David. As soon as you said the name, Robin Williams, I thought, hang on, I have a book by her. And the book that I have in front of me is called Design Workshop by Robin Williams and John Tollett. This one was originally published in 2001. And I must have had this for about 10 years, I reckon. And it's amazing, like, because when I read it all the way through, as I did, the one thing that really stuck in my head was this anagram of CRAP: consistency, repetition, alignment, and proximity. And that has stuck with me ever since I read the book a decade ago. Because, you know, I like to, you know, I do photo books of our holidays. I, you know, design my business cards and things like that. And I've always tried to keep those things in mind whenever I'm doing any kind of design work or layout work, of any sort. So obviously those things have been instrumental in her career if she's covered the same principles in multiple books. So I can highly recommend it. Having you know, Design Workshop in front of me and having got a lot from it myself, excellent. All right. Well, as we said, that's another year over, and we're going to take about a four-week break, and we will talk to you late January. Until then, have a very safe and merry Christmas, if that's your thing. Enjoy the break if it's not, and everybody, please have a very safe and happy new year. We'll talk to you late in January. Cheers.
ShutterZincPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioTo.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZincPodcast.com.
Cool.
Thank God that's over.
I'll leave that in.
Exactly.